Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Happy to be out this morning.
Amen.
Let's all stand if you will. Bow our heads in prayer. Precious Heavenly Father, Lord, it's such a privilege. Lord, it's such an honor, Lord, to be gathered in your house, Lord, with like precious things. Lord, we're so thankful for everything you've done for us. Lord, we just appreciate your holy name. Lord, we just love and appreciate you this morning. Lord, we ask you to have your preeminence in this service. Everything that's said and done, everything that's sung. Lord, everything we think. Lord, as the word comes forth, Lord, let us receive revelation. Lord, for that's more important than anything in this life. Lord, just have your preeminence now. We'll hand it all over to you. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. That little chorus she was playing, in the presence of Jehovah. Amen. In the presence of Jehovah, God Almighty, Prince of Peace.
Hallelujah.
Seated. Amen. Turn our little capstone books over to page 12. Surely the presence of the Lord. You feel Him? Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the rush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. In the midst of His children, the Lord said He would be. It doesn't take very many. It can be just two or three. And I feel that same sweet spirit that I felt of time before. Surely I can say that been with the Lord. Surely the presence, hallelujah, amen. There's a holy hush around us as God's glory fills this place. I've touched the hem of His garment. I can almost see His face, and my heart is overflowing with the I know without a doubt that I've been with the Lord. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. You feel Him in your heart? Pulling at your heartstrings as the word comes forth. As you sing praises unto Him. Amen. Let's turn to page in our only belief, 491. Amen. We have come into His house to magnify His name. We have come into His house to magnify His name.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we have so much to praise you for, Lord, to give, to worship to you. Lord, we thank you so much for all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid for us. Lord, we just pray that you have your preeminence, Lord, the remainder of this service. Lord, may our hearts and minds be open to receive the portion that you have for us this morning.
Yes.
Lord, once more we ask that you bless this offering. May it be used for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. We ask it in your precious holy name, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mercy rewrote my life. Amen. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. God's mercy rewrote my life. This morning, up raising our hand. Amen. Brother Settles, would you take the request this morning?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful.
Yes.
That we have one that we can come to in our needs. God, for truly we are in need. And Father, as the people's hearts, Father, have something on them, Lord.
Yes.
Raising of hand, Lord. Lord, it may be financial or spiritual. Physical. Lord, you know every heart.
Amen.
Lord, even before we raise it, Lord, you want.
be seated. At this time, anybody got a special you'd like to sing? Sister Grace.
Our days are numbered down here below. When it's our time, God only knows. But we can see by the signs it won't be long. Can we stand with assurance? What did our lives express today? Did every action prove He's the same? Can we say He lived through every part of me? Through let's
with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Let's just bow our heads again for a moment of prayer. Precious Lord Jesus, again we are so thankful that you have given us this opportunity to be gathered in this little building today. Lord, it's not well renowned or known all over anything, but Lord, I believe that your Holy Spirit's here with us today, and we appreciate that so very much. And Father, as we've gathered here today, we want to make sure our calling and election is sure. We want to make sure that everything's all right, Lord, with you. And the only way we can do that, Lord, is go back to your word. And your word is so great and so tremendous. It's just something that's beyond anything the world would ever have to offer. It's something, Lord, is so tremendous and great and so powerful. It's so amazing that how your words can be read and what it can do to a man or woman's heart. It's so great. We ask in this day that again that you would speak to our hearts to the word, that it would draw us closer to you. That Lord, it would bring a greater sincerity in our hearts, a greater soberness, a greater appreciation, a greater love. Oh, so thankful, Lord. We pray now thy will be done. Ask that you just have your preeminence over every one of us. And Lord, bring every spirit under your subjection. Have the preeminence in all things now. And we'll make sure that you get all the glory and the honor. In your glorious, precious name we ask. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. So thankful again to be here. Amen. So thankful for his mercy and his grace that rewrote our life. Amen. Aren't you?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate him. Let us turn our Bibles again to the book of 2 Peter and renew our minds to Scripture here. We want to go back in the message now this morning, Souls in Prison, and hope and trust that you've been reading it or listening to it or at least meditating upon it. Amen. And we want to go back into this, as we said this morning now, and to see what the Lord has for us, and trusting it will encourage us to draw closer to him and let him have a greater preeminence of our life. Amen. And don't forget the message Thursday evening and talking about that warning. You know, God always sends warning before judgment, you see. All right, so we find here in second chapter of 2 Peter and 4th, 5th verse. And let's read this now. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now may the Lord again bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. This is one of the scriptures the prophet read in the Souls in Prison Now. And I'll just refresh your mind too. I would like to go ahead and read 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. He read this too. Just so they'll be fresh in your mind. It's up to you if you want to turn to it. 1 Peter, 3rd chapter. And we'll read, begin 18th verse, 22nd verse. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. By which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. It's just such a few for as many people as on the earth even at that time. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him. Amen. So again, that was another scripture the prophet read. And I'd like to read first, and starting here, the world is again falling apart. How many can say amen to that? Amen. Amen. We know the world is definitely falling apart. Now, I want you to remember as we go back into this message this morning that this has been 50-some years ago that was preached. That's way older than many in here, or longer than they are old in sitting in here. And we realize that even though that time goes on, you know, God always made a warning. Always set forth a warning before he done anything. And we read about that Thursday night. But just to read this now, he says here, this was November 27, 1963, paragraph 13. And the last name goes on the book, or the last name that's redeemed, that was put on the book, that settles it. He comes to claim what he redeemed. And it might be a strange time. Did you ever think? Now, you got to remember, now, this was not long after he preached souls in prison. Okay? He says, people will go right on preaching. The church will go right on even thinking they're getting people saved. Before I read any more, do you really believe what that prophet said?
Amen.
I do. 100%.
Amen.
100%. Everything else can fail. But what that prophet said is amen. So be it. It'll do and happen just like he said. You see? The church will go right on even thinking they're getting people saved. It's too late then. It's all over. And the message will go on to the total lost. The message will go on to the totally lost. Just like it did in the days of Noah. 7 days in the ark. Now you've got to remember, who closed the door on that ark? God closed the door on that ark. Okay? And Noah remained there 7 days. Just like it did in the days of Noah, 7 days in the ark, it did in the days of Sodom. Jesus himself, his third stage of his ministry, he went and preached to the souls that were eternally lost, that were in prison, that repented not. Notice that, that repented not. We spoke a little bit about Thursday evening. The long suffering in the days of Noah. And we don't know what time these things might happen. And by no means, don't take by what I'm bringing out of this, that I am saying now is the time. Personally, with understanding and revelation, it's more possible now that it be than it was when the prophet was there. Okay? So I want to be careful how you take that and how I say it, because I don't want anybody to go out saying something. But to me personally, I have a right to my personal opinion, you see. But my personal opinion is, it could very easily be now already. Could be very easily. When you really study it scripturally, and what that prophet said, it could be very easily now. And what a soberness we have to have. Oh my. Think of it, saints. This message has been preached for 50 some years. And think, people can't overcome the smallest things in life and not realizing they've actually rejected it. See? Remember this. It's human nature to make an excuse for everything they do. Whether it be the right excuse or an excusable excuse. It's human nature to make an excuse for everything and every failure they have. But the ultimate is God's Word. Regardless of what the whole human race would do, the ultimate is God's Word. Heavens and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. You see? He says here, and let's back up a little bit. And we don't know what time these things might happen. And let's be warned. Let's be warned. So if nothing else, we're being warned. But I'm afraid it goes farther than that. But again, you don't have to accept my opinion of it. But you do have to accept God's word of it. Okay? All right. I'm being honest with you. Okay? And let's be warned. Don't just stand around. Let's do something about it. If we're not right with God, let's get right with God. You see? Is there anyone in here spiritual enough and have enough eyes to see that we can sit here and say, everyone sitting in this building today is filled with the Holy Ghost? They don't want to be again. But the Lord Jesus Christ knows. He knows of how much effort we've put toward it. He knows whether how much earthly things and possessions are more important to us. He knows what our very thoughts of our heart is, the very intent of our hearts. He knows all about us, you see. So we can't hide nothing before him as we sit here today. Nothing at all. In the message, God doesn't call man to judgment without first warning him. Renew our minds back to this. Or maybe I didn't read this one Thursday night. I don't know. Paragraph 93. All right, we find out the first, he sends his prophets with warning. Yes, I did read this one. I remember now. His prophets with warning. He doesn't change his way, his method of doing things. He does not always strike when he warns. So don't you remember that? He doesn't always strike when he warns. I want you to watch this quotation. God gives a warning, but he doesn't always strike the same time he warns. Did you notice that? And then when he doesn't strike when he sends a warning, then the prophet is mocked. You didn't have it. You told a lie. You wasn't right. Now we've seen people do that over the years, you know. And I was thinking about their souls in prison and what's taking place now. That people, because they don't understand it, they think, that message will never be fulfilled in my lifetime. When the last one could already be in. Again, is there anybody in here that would know that? No. That doesn't mean we don't still go out and try to get the last one. It may still be that last one. We don't know when the last one will be in. But as the prophet said, the last one could be in right now. It's something to take very seriously and to measure yourself up very seriously. I've been so nervous on the inside and studying this message and thinking about it and meditating and praying and waiting. I said, Lord, and I keep praying. I said, Lord, don't let it be the time yet. Don't let it be the time yet. But I'm afraid it might be. Already. When you start seeing it all in this picture, And you see the message church in the condition it's in. Horrible. Horrible. Pure, unadulterated message brought that God delivered to people. And every church is different. Thousands can't stay with every word. They either don't believe everything he said about the new birth, an old nature dying. They can't believe that. They can't believe everything in marriage and divorce. They can't believe everything in future home. They're always taking something away by some intellectual conception instead of saying it exactly like the prophet said. Could it be the time? It sure could. It sure could so easily be the time. Yes, they're going on and thinking more people getting saved, people getting prayed for, being healed. Yeah. Many things still happening, but the prophet said that would be happening when souls are being preached in prison. Now, that would happen. It's so fitting. Oh, how the time is so fitting. And just think again. If it happens exactly what the prophet said to Brother Billy Paul, before you're an old man, there'll be sharks swimming under this where you're standing. And he's out in California. How much time have we got left? Billy Paul's getting pretty old. And we've heard of all kinds of ideas of what an old man is. Some say it's 80, some 85, some say the doctor says 90. I don't know. Who knows? I don't think any man really knows. It's God revealed it to him. Can't go by any doctors. There ain't a doctor in the world I trust. There's only one great physician I trust, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They've all been educated by man, and man's a failure. But God's word will never fail. Never. So he says here, they mocked him. What do they think about this souls in prison? You don't hear much about it. You don't hear much about it. Are they afraid of it? Are they afraid of they're one of the souls in prison? And that's why they don't want to preach on it. That's why they don't want to talk about it. If they catch every nugget in that message, which I trust the Holy Ghost will help us to, I hope we'll see the picture. And we'll see how close it is, if it isn't already. Okay? So next quote we're going to read, Souls in Prison, paragraph 115. Now, we read this 2-3 Sundays ago. But just refresh your mind back to it real quick. Souls in prison, paragraph 115. And Jesus said himself, as the Father sent me, so send I you. And as the Father sent him to preach to the living, to those who had hope, and then present the same message to those who had no hope. Isn't it strange how God does things? It seems too fitting. It seems too fitting at this time that that will have to be done. Because the Spirit of Christ living in us does not change the nature of him. Or doesn't change God's system. He must be the same in every generation. He must be the same. As the Father sent me, so send I you. The ministries must be the same. In so much that he said, I see some of you writing scriptures down, St. John 14:12. He that believeth on me and the works that I do shall he do also. See the works, preaching to the lost, healing the sick, and then to the impossible to ever be saved. The work went on just the same. So this has been, he said, so this has been, he says, has this been? May I put it like this? the ministry of Jesus Christ reincarnated in his church in this last day. That's what many of us believe. I believe with you. I believe this. If I didn't believe it, I'd do something else about it. Because after all, this is to me, he said, this is that's one concern in here. If the Spirit of God be in you, you're concerned about the people. Not just the minister, but you also. If the Spirit of God is in you, you're truly concerned about the people. Yeah. You're concerned about what God wants done in his people. And that it needs done. It needs to be a finished work. It needs to happen just like he said it would be. You see? Continuing on, paragraph 107. Now after Jesus had clearly came, identified himself, God identified him. And he prophesied. And after the days of his prophecy, those scripturally identified, the people rejected him. That's right. And he preached, he says, and then he preached, then after they rejected him here, the ones that had a possibility of being saved. Remember, when he was preaching, there was a possibility of anybody being saved. We don't know who they are. See? They're predestinated. But he continually preached. But after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on, because that last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell. Well, think of that. The last group that he preached to was those souls in hell. Seems too fitting, the prophet said, that it had to be again today. Be the same way. Could you imagine people sitting under the Word of God and impossible to be saved? Excuse me. And thinking that they are saved. And thinking that they're all right. And they're not doing anything wrong. I want you to catch these things. We'll read them. Imagine that. A people in that condition. Now, you know, as I mentioned many times, I want to make sure people never forget it. But the prophet said, again, I repeat, it'd be the most deceptive age that ever was. People would think, believe the Christians when they're not. Can you imagine that? To sit and go to church every service, as we would call it, pray, maybe read God's word, and think we're saved and not. Now think of that. No wonder he said it's so haunting. No wonder he said my heart bleeds. My. When you love a people so much and you're so concerned for them and yet be deceived. He says here, but he continually preached. But after the days of his preaching, his ministry continued on, because the last group he preached to was the souls that were in hell that could not be forgiven. Think of that. I have clearly read that from the Bible here, from 2 Peter. He went and preached to the souls that were in prison, which is hell, locked up until the day of judgment. Paragraph 309, has it been so long that God's long-suffering? And do you suppose God has had some long-suffering in 50-something years? And such a great message, great tremendous word that all the loose ends was taken care of. There would be no question, it's perfect. Everything exactly right. And yet, has God been long-suffering? When the people get to hear messages and repeatedly and exhorted upon constantly, they have messages, books to read constantly, they have hearing devices to listen to. And you see people really not be true prisoners of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Steve, now that's an option. We don't have to do that. Souls in prison now. rejected it. Don't realize it. Have no intentions of ever being that. Have no intentions of the second full, of the threefold purpose of God. That you have the preeminence of our body believers. Rejected it. Is your souls in prison now? After 50-some years of it? When it seemed so strongly to him at that time it could be? And now where are we at? And people get to hear the words so, so very much. That it can't even accomplish little things in their life. I'm not just speaking here. I'm going over the internet on this. You see? But they think, ah, no problem. My life's good. I'm all right. There's nothing wrong. I'm not doing anything wrong. Yeah. And they come to a point they can't even see really a woman's position. The sisters can't. Oh, they might be a good wife. But when it comes down to maybe situation, maybe the husband being led by the Spirit and maybe even wants to listen to a certain thing, a certain message. And the wife says, you don't need that. Maybe he's feeling led to go somewhere. Well, you ain't going there. Just don't worry about it. Being the head. He yields. She's the head. Yeah. Simple things as that. Yeah. Some people are just as cantankerous as they ever was. Mind you, I must say it, had this message 50-some years, some of us. Yeah. And just as cantankerous as the day you come from your mother's womb when maybe you didn't get your pacifier at the right time. No change in nature. But yet you hear the same things that everybody else hears. Time and time and time again. And God truly vindicated his prophet of the age. The same as Jesus was truly identified to be the Messiah. What does people do? With all these things, all this precious word, does earthly possession still rule our life? Does an earthly possession keep me from fulfilling God's word? Forsake not to assemble yourselves together. Even more so as you see a day approaching. Does an earthly possession keep me from doing that? When Jesus himself, people are so blind to it. Jesus himself gave so many examples. The man with the oxen. I must go try my oxen out. You're not worthy. Go ahead and go try your oxen. There's souls in prison now. They'll never change. They haven't changed for 50 years. Will they change now? Is this word being preached to souls in prison? We're not talking about new sinners that just came in. We're talking about people who's been around the word for years. Many all their life. Is there souls in prison now? Ah, I just ask you the question. But the truth should be presented to you. He says here, he's talking about the long suffering. He says, because I didn't get finished. Has it been so long that God's long suffering, the ministry constantly, through tape and everything else, has combed across the world to see if there's one more? But maybe that last one came in just recently. Has it been iniquity that's been? It's been so long. Do we know what? Now remember, the scripture warns us in the last days abounding iniquity. What's iniquity? Don't we all on here know the word of God? And doeth it not, to us it is sin. But it'll be a day of iniquity. The souls in prison. People being preached the word of God to them. And they're bound in iniquity. Don't mean to make you feel uncomfortable, but I trust that if there's anything at all inside, that the Holy Ghost will deal with your heart.
Amen.
That if there's time, you'll have that opportunity. Now, and if you're not sure, if you sit there not sure, and I'm making you doubt, then don't you rely on your experience you said you got 20 years ago because you didn't get it. No. But when souls are being preached, it's in prison. Now, they'll think that way. They'll think that they're saved. They'll think they're all right. But there's going to be a great day of reckoning. And sometimes it takes an emergency to bring desperation. You remember the prophet preaching on desperation? As I said before, like sometime into, how many has been to high caverns or down the caves in Tennessee and so forth? You been in any of them caverns, caves? And you get way down in there, it's cool, it's chilly. And my, if there wasn't no lights, it'd be absolutely pitch dark. You couldn't see nothing. But just imagine yourself going down into there. Maybe you're down in there about 200 feet. And all you can feel on each side of you is cold rock and the moisture running down the side of those rocks. And you can see your breath. And you're walking down through there. You're so sure of life and you're having fun looking at the stalactites and all kinds of things. And you're just enjoying a good time looking at nature and what has happened in time and so forth. And what if you was underneath there and the earth began to shake? Rock. And immediately you begin to hear boulders falling. And the lights go out in the cave because the power went out. And now you begin to reach a point of going frantic, very nervous. And you begin to scream and you begin to run. And trying to find your way through the cave to get yourself back out because you can't see now. And you hit a wall of stone, rock, crushed rocks, the way you came in. Now, the pressure's really rising. Now, the nervous tension's really on. Now, you're beginning to think, how am I ever going down? Does anybody know that I'm down here? Is anybody up there alive? Oh, what's going on? Will I ever get out here? Am I going to die here? State of urgency is hit because it went beyond your control. Saints, today, there may be still time that you may still have a little control by crying out to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there'll come a time, the prophet said, they'll not even desire to do what's right. Remember that? Has that time come? People that think they're Christians say, oh, yes, I desire to do what's right. And they do something wrong and they don't even really repent. They don't even ask God to forgive them. They just think in their mind, I will do better. They don't even think about asking God to forgive them. They may have hurt somebody and done some odd against somebody, and they don't even think about really asking forgiveness. Tell the brother or sister, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that. It doesn't happen. People's hearts have become so hardened, and yet they'll follow a message God gave through a prophet. And hearts become so hardened, they don't understand where they're at. If the first and second pole is without question, I don't want to go into the first, second pole, and third pole, and all those things. But you know what I was talking about. Don't go home and study it. I ain't got time right now. Go into it right now. The first and the second pole is without question. Is there a question in your mind about the first and second pole? Did it come to pass like he said? Congregation says amen. Then why question the third? Why would you question it? The first two was identified by Scripture. He said, I've proved to you this morning that the third is identified by the Scripture too. Look upon the world and see where she's at. Look how they have rejected the truth. Oh my. And how it's been properly identified. The prophecy part. Now where are we at? Oh God, be merciful. That makes my heart bleed on the inside, you see. Yeah, I'll say no more about that. Let's go into this. It's going to save a little time. Souls in prison, page 341. Not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing the Spirit, not by joining church, not by fruit of the Spirit. Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that, see, and deny even Jesus Christ was divine. So many, I've seen it happen so many times, preachers in this message don't think you have to have any fruits of the Spirit because Brother Branham said this. Oh my. He was saying it in this way, friends, that it ain't that alone that does it. But you better have love. You better have peace. And all those other things is scriptural. And the prophet talked about in different places. But they'll take one thing like that. Love is not the evidence and forget it. But I'm going to tell you what. Without love, we're nothing. You see? They can't take the whole of the word. You see? Why? Souls in prison now. They've rejected the truth. They don't realize it, but they've rejected it. You see? And I hear a little excuse. Oh, Brother Steve, maybe they just, especially about ministers, maybe they just ain't been taught. I'm going to tell you what. There ain't a preacher better get behind the pulpit until he's went to Arabia, friends, and gets the Word of God, filled with the Holy Spirit. Then it will be his governor. It'll tell him exactly what to do. It'll tell him what's right. But these preachers run around today and look like a bunch of spiders with all kind of world attached to them and caught in their webs of worldlyism, and they go out and try to preach this message. God have mercy. It's such a mess. But it's the word living. There it is. If they have only looked, if they'd only looked, he was the Messiah. He was the living word made manifest. And a man that's got the Spirit of God in him, or woman, lives by that word, lives right out in them. That's the heartbeat, the predestinated. For the word of the Lord comes to them, and they are the word to the people. Written epistles read of all men. Is that right? Could the third pole be on? Tape people. That's you that's listening to this tape. I'm reading what was on the tape. So here we are, listening. Okay? I wish you could look at this congregation this time. I mentioned this Thursday night. There was something about it, this message was doing something to them. All right? It's doing something to us. Or are we a soul in prison? I've read that message so many times, I could tell you what you're going to say next, brother. And yet, where is your life? Well, I'm a good, fine Christian. I'm a wonderful brother, and I've done this, and I know this. And shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds the mouth of God. Tape people, that's you listening to this tape. I wish you could look at this congregation this time. I hope you're feeling the same way. It was supposed to do something to us. I hope you're feeling the same way. What if it is? He says. What if it is? What if it is souls in prison now? Look at the scriptures piled in here. Could it be? Is the third pole to preach to the eternal doomed that's rejected the message of salvation? Friends, don't you think about it? Preach the message. I don't know if any of these denominational organizations out here is getting a message preached to them right now. Think about it. Will you say the church is going, yeah, they will. They'll go right on just the same. But remember, all this time, Noah is in the ark. The bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed. Wow. I got to understand how he's saying that. The sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sit down and claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pole. Three is perfection. The ministry comes to its perfection when it's reproduced Christ again in natural among human beings as was predicted, as it was in the days of Lot. Oh, think people. People could go right on preaching. Says again, thinking they're getting saved, believe they're doing right. Believing our organizations are growing, sure, and not even a ray of hope. And if that vision was that, and it's been so hard against women, we have come to that hour. Doors closed. Gone. Already the book is in his hand. Think of it. Wow. When could there be a time? Excuse me. Think of it. A time where you can identify message churches by the way the women dress. I'm not talking about holy either. Blue jean skirts with pockets and zippers. The whole nine yards. When was there ever a time? When the scripture plainly says, she that puts on anything that pertains to man's, the prophet said 2-3 times throughout his messages, even after 63, even pertains. Even pertains. That is in any likeness. Yeah. Any likeness of man's apparel. And look how so many message churches identify themselves today. And God's word so greatly identified the truth on that. Yeah. Scary to think. Showing the woman as the head. It's an abomination to God. You say, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe it. But she ain't changed it the way I believe it. I believe it exactly what the scripture says. Amen. And exactly what that prophet says. And I'll scream out about it that it's sin until the day I die. I believe it's sin. It's unbelief. They do not believe the word of God. Wear a man's apparel. To where the day they've even got it to wear, at a little bit of distance, it looks like a pair of jeans with the way the coloring is and things. Tell me it ain't sin. And it's so tight on their hips, when they walk, it shows their form. Sin. Ungodly sin. Because of all the vipers we got behind pulpits today in this message, they can't stand up against it. Snakes in the grass, they can't stand against sin. Many are called, but few are chosen. Very few. You say, you have no right to say those things. I have every right. By being a servant and filled with the Holy Ghost and according to God's word to say those things. I can't help if you don't understand it. That's not my problem. But it's my problem to make sure I fulfill what God wants me to fulfill. Amen. Souls in Prison, paragraph 113. I sing this by a first-hand experience. He's talking about seeing both places. Skip down. Now Jesus, after he had finished his ministry, preached to those souls that were unsavable, that could not ever be saved. Now the Bible tells us that. He went and preached to the souls that were in prison that repented not. I think that didn't repent. Hear the word and didn't repent. Can you imagine that? What a terrible, terrible thing. And we may be one sitting here today. Oh, wouldn't it have been terrible? The Lord Jesus Christ himself preached the word of God to him and they didn't repent. What a terrible people they was. How many times has a message come across this pulpit and you've heard that prophet say things and you didn't repent and turn from it? And still haven't. Oh, what a sad people it is. Maybe it's you. Souls in prison now. Could it be? Is the time. You see? But the Bible tells us he went and preached to the souls that were in prison and repented not when mercy was given to him. Do you realize mercy? We've had that opportunity of mercy. Yeah. They spurned mercy, and now they're waiting for the judgment. Oh, what a time that must have been. Oh, I wish there was some way I could shake the world with that. To let them see what the reality is. Is there somehow by faith we can see the reality? That if we've seen this reality greater, maybe something would change in our life even further for the glory of God. If we've seen the reality. He says, now just a minute, continuing on. You're writing down scriptures. You have to put down 1 Timothy 5:6, 5 and 6. The Bible said the woman that lives in worldly pleasure can't be in pleasures of God. So, see, the woman that lives in worldly pleasure is dead while she is living. That's what the prophet said. St. Paul, the woman that lives in worldly condition is dead while she's living. And if she rejects mercy, she can cross the separated line where there is no place for her no more. And then, where is she at? With her painted eyes, her cut hair? That's one of the words, isn't it? Painted eyes, cut hair. What's wrong with Deuteronomy? Puts on things that pertain to the man's apparel. He wasn't going to sit there and name everything, but it's just as much word as the other. Amen. Is it not? If I couldn't say amen to that, I'd walk away from this message. Because it means absolutely nothing to me. Nothing. I told you before, I'm blunt. And I say it just like it is. But it's the only way I know to do it. I couldn't live with myself to know I was a traitor to God's people. A traitor is one that wouldn't tell them the truth. Yeah. Just let sin go on. But by God's grace, I don't want to be no traitor. I want to be as Apostle Paul. I declare unto you the whole counsel. The whole counsel. Not part of it. The whole counsel. And he says here, and then where is she at? With her painted eyes and her cut hair, she's crossed the line with no way to come back. And there's got to be a ministry preached to her. There's what? There's got to be a ministry preached to her. But remember, at that time, are you listening? But at that time, it's all over. It's done. It's just haunting. My, if there's anything at all inside of us, I trust we'll redeem the time we have left and run like we've never run before. Give our heart to Jesus Christ. There will be a ministry that will show great wonders. Didn't God do that through the prophet? Joel said so, but there'll be no time for redemption. It's all over. The Lamb has done took his book. and has redeemed us over. As Jesus first preached and was rejected, and then went and haunted those that were in there and preached to them that were in prison, could not repent, no time for salvation, whether you want to face it or not, but reality is today, people with their cares of life have no time for salvation. Too many cares of life. Have my heart on Jesus Christ while I'm working? Serve God in my life with all the things I've got to do? I've got a family to raise? I have no time for salvation. For the cares of this life has swallowed them. No time for salvation. See, that same minister will have to repeat again. What if that could be the third pole to the eternal loss? What if it is there, he says. I hope it's not. So do I. I hope it's not yet. What if it is? Think of it just a minute now. What if it is, he says. God forbid, I've got children. But it sure looks pretty close here. Why did that vision come when I was a kid? Why didn't I never think of it before? Why did that trance come in the room the other day? Here it is. It's right in the midst. The soul's lost. And Jesus preached to them, witnessed. They never repented. Never repented. And the more I preach, the worse they get. Do you realize, saints, how bad it is since the prophet left the scene? Amen. Could you imagine what he would be saying now if he walked into some of these message churches? Could you imagine? How would tear the heart out of him to see the mess, the worldly styles, the music, the ungodly speech that comes from the mouth, worldly mannerism, speaking as the world speaks, foolish words. After almost 60 years of preaching, go that he would have brought. What a true son of daughter would be in the last days. The works that I do shall they do also. And greater works shall they do, for I go unto the Father. They'd have a longer span of time. But where is the churches today? And the more I preach, the worse they get. There is no more repentance. There's no place for it. I'm going to close there for this morning. There's no place for it. No place for repentance. No place. If you had spiritual eyes to see and a spiritual understanding at all, you would see how that's leaving the people. It's why they can even do wrong and never confess. Scripture says, confess your faults one to another. You don't see people do that no more. You don't see people even concerned about making things right. They'll go out and do something, bring a reproach on the church, and they don't bother them at all. They get mentioned that they've done wrong. It's, oh, I'm going to try to do better instead of repenting and turning away from it. Tell me it isn't time or it isn't entering into it. Saints, the Lord Jesus is going to appear for too long. Will there be people not paying attention to junky, flunky little preachers like me. Yeah. It'll happen all the time. But God gave gifts unto the church. He gave apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to come to the unity of the faith, for the perfecting of the saints. Yes. To come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. And all these want to be preachers that's scattered throughout the land. They ain't going to happen. But the true fivefold ministry is scattered throughout the land. It'll happen. It won't be very many. It'll just be a handful. Don't forget. A handful. May God help us. Would you sisters come to instruments, please? Precious Lord, amen. He's so wonderful. And again, you don't have to believe these things. You don't have to. I know churches, too, that if you don't believe the way they say, they tell you get out. I don't do that. It's up to what God does. There's no perfect congregation. People sometimes get aggravated at me because I don't try to perfect it by governments. Governments will never work. Only Christ Jesus can perfect the people. And this little group is not the only little bride. I believe there's a bride here, but this ain't the only little bride there is. I believe she's over here, over there, maybe one or two there, maybe a half a dozen there. But I preach the truth regardless of what. There was a little young lady that crocheted me a little plaque one time. Showed his little precious moments. Showed him as a little preacher behind the pulpit. It says, preach the truth no matter what. And all there was in front of the pulpit on the floor was a little mouse. You know, I've still got it today. Though the young lady is left the truth of the message. She's a message to say, but has rejected it as far as many things in truth. But I think about that many times. Preach the truth no matter what. I've walked alone before. Yeah. And Jesus Christ was with me by his grace. I can always walk alone again if it be his will. But I am here on this earth to do the will of my Father. To do his will above everything in this life. Yes, I make mistakes, but the minute I do, I feel so bad, so terrible. I cry out to God, forgive me. Help me to never do that again. But people have lost that. They've lost that. When's the last time you've done something wrong and you didn't even ask God to forgive? Souls in prison now. God have mercy. Amen. Oh, I'm so righteous and I am righteous and I don't have to ask God to forgive me. So you leave that word out. But I thank God for his blood. Amen. Thank him so much for his blood. It was shed for me. If it wasn't shed for you, it was shed for me. Amen. This sing a little chorus here. Let's all stand. Let me see if I can find it. Got it. Yes. Think about his love. It's on page 6 in this one here if you don't know it. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Think about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the hill. sing it again. Think about his love. Just think about it, saints. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so our heads bowed. Precious Lord Jesus, again we thank you so very much for your word. I trust, Lord, that what I was not capable to say may be the way it should be said. I trust, Lord, you not let any take any wrong slant. But yet, Lord, help us to receive the seriousness of it. Lord, what an hour we live in. What a time. And truly it is so haunting to see that how all these things are falling in place. To that place that you said there'd be souls in prison being preached to. Is this the hour, Lord? It's not for me to say. But it sure looks like it. But Lord Jesus, help each one of us. Help each one of us to find that individual affair with you, Lord. That individual experience. And the Lord, you can have a preeminence of our life. I pray for everyone in here, Lord. Oh God, help each one. You already know, Lord, if there's any of us being deceived and thinking maybe we think we're all right, but yet we're not. Only you know that. But Lord Jesus, may you search those hearts and put a little something special there that'll prick the heart, regardless of the age. Lord, if we're just rebellious, maybe we just don't feel that that's important right now. Maybe we've got a goal in mind of maybe being married and having a family, having a good job and all these other things, Lord. But Father, you promised us that if we'd seek first the kingdom, you'd add all these other things to us. Can't we trust you, Lord? Can't we trust you? Instead of putting all our mind and efforts into it, why can't we trust you and seek you first, Lord? Oh God, thou knowest our hearts. Again, Lord, we ask you to forgive us of our sins and iniquities. Help us now, Lord, to be a better people for you. Help us to surrender to you. And may this message, Lord, not just go on and come to a point in a couple weeks that it's never thought of. But Lord, help us not be those forgetful hearers. But let's make sure we're doers of the word of God. Bless us now. We ask again that any have to travel, protect them, Lord. Keep them safe. Bless them, Lord Jesus, those that drive so far. Make it easy for them. Lord, how my heart cries out. If only they could have had someone else much better listen to. Something maybe more to maybe help them more. But I can only do what you lay upon my heart, Lord. I trust that you help them. Help these young people, Lord. I was once young. I know what things in life was when I was young. But your grace was with me, Lord. You always held me. You always kept me from going the wrong direction until you could get a hold of me. I'm so thankful, Lord, I look back at them times. You kept me from all the filth, the dope, sex, and all the craziness that goes on in young people's lives. You kept me, Lord, from all that nonsense. I appreciate it so very much. So thankful there was a little deep call into the deep. But one day I found, oh God, there was something to respond to that call. I trust, Lord, there's something to respond to that call in the hearts of the people today. Maybe there's time. Maybe there's time yet. Help them, Lord Jesus. Bless us now as we part from this little place. But let's truly stay in your presence and keep you always before us, that we sin not against thee. In your glorious, precious name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Think about his goodness. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that has brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, great is the measure of our Father's love. You're dismissed. May God bless you richly. Amen.